Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in on the radio dial here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we welcome you all back to our program, as well as tuning in through our online affiliates around the world. We're glad to have all of you with us as well. Now, our next guest is known to many because of his journey in music as part of the group Natural 4, who's given us some amazing music. But we're excited to welcome to our program today Mr. Chris James. Many of you know him also as Chris Bell. We're going to talk to him not only about his journey in life, but also what it's been like for him to reflect on where he is, where he's been, and also bringing it all together in his new book called Music Saved My Life, From Darkness Into the Light, My Life as a 70s R&B Soul Singer. Now, of course, he talks to us about his journey in music, but there's so much more to his life that I think we will appreciate. He also takes us into his life with his family, namely his mother, what it was like for him to be able to see how he could be able to maneuver that in the wake of everything else that he was dealing with, but also his journey to independence as well. I think that's another big part of this book that you all will appreciate, because it really shows us how he was able to become his own man and how he was able to be able to share with us how we could be able to do the same thing in our own life. Now, when it comes to the music, of course, a lot of great music was made by the Natural Four. One of the things we learned in the book, though, is, of course, just like other groups that were going on during that time as well as other times, there were not the best contracts, the best understanding of contracts and obligations. We're going to talk to Mr. James not only about what it was like for him to reflect on that, but also what he hopes all of you are able to take away, not only from his journey, but also what he's been able to achieve as well. Mr. James, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it. I was just sharing with our audience just some of the layers to this book that you've been able to write that I really appreciated, that I think that they will as well. What has it been like for you, sir, to be able to not only to reflect on your life, but now to be able to share your journey with all of us through this book?
Well, for me, it's been eye-opening for me. It's been something that I didn't really pre-plan this. I've been writing this book for over 20 years just to purge a lot of things that happened in my life prior, during the time of my growing up and during the Natural Force time. So for me, it has been a journey, a way for me to really understand myself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting you say that, Mr. James, because I think one of the big things for me when I was reading the book, I mean, something that I did not know about you before reading the book, which is why I'm so glad that I did read it, is your relationship with your mother and how, you know, in many ways you're trying to, as I was telling our audience, exert your own independence, be your own man, but still kind of being under that control, as, you know, I think a lot of people can attest to. I mean, how therapeutic was that for you to kind of reflect on and to think about?
Well, it was growing up back in the 40s, 50s, the 60s. It was difficult for me as well as my brother and my sisters with the way my mother was brought up and how she learned from her parents how to deal. So it was a bit difficult just to be able to find myself even when I went to the military and not be controlled by my mother. And people have to understand that back then, the parents were really in control of us. It was not like today where kids can pretty much do and say as they want to. Back then, whatever your parents told you to do and however they told you to do it, that's what you had to do. It made no difference in what
right.
you thought. You know, even in the military, as you probably have read, even in the military, my mother had control over me there. That was the biggest problem that I had in general, was the fact that I was not, even though I thought I was my own self's man, I wasn't really my own self's man. And the music
right.
is the thing that really came in there and kept me sane, kept me focused, because my mother was a very controlling person.
Right. Now, I will say this, too, on the other side of that, Mr. James, another thing that we're able to learn is that when you did go about your own devices, making your own decisions, especially when it came to relationships, they didn't always turn out the best. I think that is one of the big things that we see in the book, too. I mean, talk to us about that. I mean, relationships are not always easy to be able to learn from and to discuss. What was it like for you to kind of be honest with yourself and readers about mistakes that you had made and challenges that you face in relationships?
Well, like I said, when I started to write this, I did it because I needed to. I went to a psychiatrist, and we sat and we talked. And one of the things he told me, he said, you need to sit down and put these things that you're feeling on paper so you could read it. As I said, I didn't start out making this a book. This was not my original plan. It was just to be able to get past the things that had happened to me. Like my marriage, my first marriage was not my marriage. It was my mother's marriage. It was something that she wanted to see, not something that I wanted to see. My first relationship was someone with the young lady in Germany, Margaret, who I loved and fell in love with, and as you see in the book, had my first child with, but I didn't even know that he existed. Me putting this down and writing it down and being able to read it to myself and look at what I'm saying helped me a lot to be able to move forward, because I was married to the first lady for 24 years. And even it took me 24 years to get out of it. So it's been a very strange journey for me just to be able to sit here and actually read the book myself and see what I put down, because when I was writing it, I was writing it with a heavy heart, for a better term. Even though Natural 4 was happening, my son's careers were happening, I was still going through whatever my mother had laid on me as a young adult, as a child. I have a statement, I say, all mothers are not cool. Mothers are mothers, but all mothers are not cool. And my mother was just a very controlling person.
Right. Right. And I think the other side of that, too, and we won't give too much of this away, Mr. James, because we're going to let our audience know how they can get the book for themselves. You know, you also write about a very painful chapter with your brother that had to also do with your wife. I think, you know, this book is going to do so much in not only helping people to better appreciate your own journey and how you became the man that you are, but also things that they're going through. Was that part of your hope that you would be able to let them know that they're not alone in some of the challenges that they're facing?
Absolutely. I mean, as I wrote it and I started going forward, and as time has passed, I'm hoping that I know that there's somebody out there that's gone through some of the same things that I've gone through. And it took a lot for me, you know, to actually put this book out. As I said, it's taken over 20 years because it was my own personal life. But put this out there and still been able to do my music and still do the entertainment thing, which was a major part of my savior. The music was truly the thing that kept me going. I know that I'm not the only person out there that has gone through some really traumatic things that they don't like, especially men. Especially cats from my time. We didn't like to talk about it. They don't like to talk about it now. It's a macho thing. But the bottom line is, you know, when you speak of these things and other people read them, I know there's somebody else out there that has gone through the same things that I've gone through. I don't think that I was the only person that went through these things. And I really felt that as I progressed with the book, I really felt that, yes, maybe somebody else out there will not have to go through these things that I went through. They were not pleasant. But they were a part of my life, and I'm still here. I'm still performing. So obviously, you can get past difficult times in your life, but you need to be honest with yourself as to this is what happened. How do I deal with it? As I said, for me, I dealt with it through music. People may deal with it through other things, through art, through dance, through whatever that will get you from point A to point B. That's what they should do. And a lot of men, especially men, have a problem expressing myself. The things that I did learn, expressing myself, changed me. I feel good about myself. You know, Natural 4 were great and we did fine. But what really did good for me was to be able to put this out and have people come. I've had friends of mine call me and say, hey, man, we're really glad you did this. And I was concerned about that at first, but I'm glad that I did.
Right. Right. Well, I know there are other people that are glad as well. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome to our program today Chris James. You know him also as Christopher Bale. We've been talking to him not only about his journey, of course, his love with music. We're going to talk more about that with the group Natural 4, but also his book called Music Saved My Life, From Darkness Into the Light, My Life as a 70s R&B and Soul Singer. You write in the book, Mr. James, this on page 70, in the midst of all this domestic turmoil, I stayed close to music. Yeah, talk to us about how you did realize the saving power of music in your life.
Well, that's the beautiful part. You know, I was blessed, you know, to be able to sing and to, when things got bad, I remember times when I was younger, when I would be mopping floors in Oakland, and we had to mop floors on our knees and use brushes, and not that it was a slave situation, but it was that's the way my grandmother wanted the floors cleaned. You scrub them, then you go behind and you take the cotton rags and you wipe it up. And everyone else would complain, and I would sing my way through the floor incident, or sing my way through things that chores that we had to do in the house. And I found that music kept me going through all of these things. And I didn't think of it back then. It was just singing. It was just a part of me.
Yeah, exactly. And I think too, you know, the sad thing is, which is what a lot of people contend with today, and I mentioned this as I was introducing you, is that, you know, the business messes up sometimes the music. You know, you write in the book quite honestly about, you know, the deal that you all had gotten and not knowing what was happening, not knowing about the way that money was being used, not knowing the way who was getting money. One of the things that you mentioned was about the individual we get to know in the book is Willie, and not knowing about the money, the sizable amount of money that he had received, for sure. But, you know, you write this, and I think it's one of the things that, again, people in the industry know. You say this, like most of the groups back then, we did not know the business, and people like Willie Hoskins took advantage of that fact. And I think that's something, ironically, even in 2017, people talk about. What has that been like for you to think about, Mr. James, that, you know, that is something that a lot of people, even today, we see these arguments that erupt. We see these lawsuits that erupt, even today, about people feeling as though they're not being treated fairly. What has that been like for you to see how it's evolved in your industry?
Well, I see that the younger generation, and I have to give them credit for it, these younger brothers, no matter what type of music they are, they have at least decided to say, hey, we want to make the money up front. With us, out of my whole career professional recording artist from 1967, 68, till I entered through the 1976, I haven't received one dime in royalties because we didn't take time to understand the contracts. They told us, okay, everything is fine. Willie Hoskins said, oh, don't worry about it. He went to ABC. He got the large amount of money, and he did what he wanted with the money. We never, as a matter of fact, it was even difficult for us to get paid union scale, which was maybe in my whole career, musically, through royalties, which wasn't royalties. I got about $925, and that was for recording, and Willie wanted a portion of that. He didn't get it that time. But he wanted a portion. Back then, we weren't paying attention to the fine print or the contractual things. All I wanted to do was sing. If I had to do over again, obviously, it would be totally different. But back then, they took advantage of us as artists that didn't really know the business. And Natural 4 fell under that same umbrella of not paying attention to the bottom line, to dealing with contracts. They said, oh, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. It was Willie Hoskins, Fred Ivey, Lou Besson, all these people. They got the money. We got the shaft, for a better word.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I think, you know, what an amazing thing. You know, I did not realize it at the time, and it's so interesting. I think you and I may have actually met each other. I had a chance to interview your wife, Zakiya Hunter, when I was visiting Atlanta a couple years ago for an event. And if I'm not mistaken, I think you were with her during that event for sure. You know, there were definitely some bright points along the way that have happened for you. You mentioned even in talking about meeting Zakiya, what that experience was like for you as well. I mean, is that what keeps music fun for you, being able to reflect on all the great things that have come during that time, the great music you were able to create, the people you were able to meet, and also the lives you know that you have been able to touch?
Well, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, even though I didn't make the big bucks and we didn't get to ride in the big automobiles and things like the material things, at the end of the day, the people that I've met, Zakiya, her father, a lot of artists that I've had the opportunity to perform with, it's been a joy for me to be able to actually say, look, I performed at the Apollo with the Parliament Funkadelic, and the Musicians, and with Curtis, with a lot of major artists. Just to be able to do that, coming from Oakland, coming from a situation that was out to lunch for a better term, and still being able to meet these people. Like, as I said, meeting Zakiya, meeting her father, and I knew her father 10 years before I even knew her, because he performed at a place in the Bay Area called Keystone Berkeley and the Berkeley Community Theater. And me and John had a really good rapport years, like 10, 12 years before I even knew that he had any family period. We were on the same gig, and I enjoyed just chatting with this person. I got a chance to play with people like Charles Brown, and I did gigs with Eddie James. So I've been able to, in fact, it's been, even though there's a certain amount of disruption, there's a certain amount of beauty and a certain amount of joy that I've had just being able to meet people. People from Argentina. I've met some of the greatest artists in Argentina. That's been a joy. I've been able to travel in France and Germany and Switzerland, Sweden, Croatia, and meet these people. And it has been, that's the upside of this. At the end of the day, you know, how happy are you within yourself? Just to be able to
right.
hear that coming from Oakland, for me, has been a joy. I'm happy.
Yeah. Well, I think the other side of this, too, Mr. James, has to be this. I mean, we live in the world today, and I should say, for a matter of full disclosure, one of our partners here on our program is Amazon. And the music of The Natural Four is available through Amazon.com, through these other online retailers. So people of all generations are able to not only to appreciate that music, but also to discover it. What has that part of technology been like for you to realize that music you created truly is timeless and will live on?
So for me, being the Asian at this point in my life, to be able to hear and see our music being played all over is amazing. You know, because I didn't think of these things back in the 60s and or 70s. I mean, it was just what they do. But to see it, not necessarily just a resurgence, but to see people, or meet people that have heard our music or that know the songs, some of the songs that we recorded. For me, as an individual, it sometimes gets a bit overwhelming. I can't believe this happened to me in my life.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it definitely is, and it's something that people will continue to enjoy. As we wrap up our segment here, our audience is going to be able to hear the single Tenderly. There's a lot of great music. Just search for Natural 4 on Amazon or through your favorite online retailer. You all can be able to get the music from there to stream it as well as to purchase it from there as well. The book, again, that we've been discussing is called Music Saved My Life, From Darkness Into the Light, My Life as a 70s R&B Soul Singer. It is a fascinating look, not only at Chris James or Chris Bell, as many of you know him, his life and music, but also his life period and how he became the person that he is, the highs and the lows. He puts it all out there for us to be able to understand, to appreciate, and also to look at ourselves as well. You know, Mr. James, thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate you stopping by, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
Me too, and thank you. My phone has got unplugged and was about to die, and I do apologize for coming in so late. That's not normally me. But thank you so much for having me on your program, and I hope to speak to you soon.
All right, looking forward to it as well, sir. Thank you. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Here is Tenderly by Natural 4. You all make it a great one.